Okay, shall we just go, or do you want to discuss something first?
Like what? What are we discussing? I don't know. Is there something to discuss? I mean, I don't know. Other than
I don't think so.
There's nothing to discuss.
Very well. Then, you know, that could be one of those, Yvonne.
Yes.
We need to talk. We need to talk.
Oh, fuck. No. Jesus.
You don't want to hear that.
No, that's, you know, my wife, like, uses that in inappropriate moments. Honey, we need to talk. What? I think we're out of cheese. And I'm like, for the love of God. Oh, okay, good. All right. We'll get cheese.
Okay. Here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, March 29th, 2024. It is just after 2 UTC as we are starting to record. I am Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
Whoa, you blew out the microphone for sure on that. Pull it back a little. Pull it back a little.
Oh, gosh.
Turn down the gain. Like, turn it.
The gain is all the way down.
I don't. You're screaming and yelling and.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to do our usual, which lately has meant each of us is going to do a non-newsy thing to start with. And then after that, we will have a couple segments of newsy stuff. Lately, we've just been doing one from Yvonne and one from me, and that's been fine. We've managed by doing that not to have 3-hour shows.
Wow. Stunning.
We've been a little shorter usually, which is good.
Stunning. Stunning.
Yeah. Stunning.
Stunning.
So,
I'm stunned.
You're stunned. Now, I'm stunned. I have a challenge for you, Yvonne.
You have a challenge. What's the challenge?
When you pick your topic.
Yeah. Shit.
Have it not be about travel.
Well, I wasn't planning on talking about travel.
Because like most of the time this year so far, your topics have been travel related. I'm just kidding. It can be about travel if you really want.
I mean, I don't, it seems like my life is very boring, which is, I'm sure that is true. But I, non-newsy thing. Let's see what's happened this week. Well, here is the interesting thing. So technically today is not a company holiday for me. Okay.
And by today, you mean Friday or Thursday?
I mean either Thursday or Friday. Okay. You know, it's a school holiday tomorrow. Stock market holiday. But it's not technically a work holiday. But here is the thing. I work mostly with people that are located in places where it is a holiday today, tomorrow, and I heard that also yesterday as well. So yesterday, I was expecting a couple of things signed from some customers, and when I reached out, they said, well, everybody's out. They won't be back until Monday.
Right.
And literally today, I did not get a single work email. And
nice.
That is, normally, I get a barrage. I did not get one. I had spoken to my boss about this yesterday, and I was basically saying, look, I know it's not a holiday, but I don't think I'm getting much of any work done right now. My pre-sales team is out on holiday. My customers are out on holiday. There's nobody I can work with. My boss is in a country that it's a holiday too. So it's kind of like, you know.
Well, you know, I realized, you know, tomorrow is also Friday. Good Friday is the holiday.
But it's not a federal holiday.
No, it's not a federal holiday. My company does not have it off tomorrow.
Right.
And I realized that there was one thing that, like, I finished up today and I was going to send out tomorrow to get feedback from some people. And then late in the day, I looked and I realized I was getting all of these, you know,
out of office.
I'm going to be out of office, like, calendar blocks.
Yeah.
For all sorts of people. And I'm like, wait a second. It appears a lot of people are taking off tomorrow, and like, I hadn't even thought of it. Like, I'm not even remotely religious minded, and you.
Well, I was not thinking about it either, because
you had to remind me, like, oh, it's Easter weekend. Like, I don't give a crap. I don't know. Like,
look, usually we do stuff for Easter weekend in my family. We'll get together and do some stuff.
My wife is really into, like, having at least something. Like, she likes to do a fancy dinner on Easter. She likes to do the Easter baskets and stuff. But it's like one of those things where it really wasn't something that I did a lot. So I always get up to it and, like, I'm always surprised by it. You know, where it happens. And the other thing I was going to say is tomorrow also, I realize I have no meetings. Like, right. Usually I have a whole bunch of meetings on.
And then all of a sudden, no meetings. Nobody is scheduling anything. You got nothing. Yeah.
And because I had to, like, my wife was out doing stuff, so I had to be home to deal with the kid in the afternoon on Tuesday and Thursday. And if you remember, my company is requiring us to be in 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Which means I did Monday, Wednesday, and I'm having to go in Friday. And I have no meetings, and no one's going to be there.
So are you going to go clock in and clock out?
I'm gonna take advantage of it as a time where I figure
get some stuff done that everybody else would be interrupting you.
Yeah, like there's in addition, like, a lot of my job is meeting with a bunch of people and doing stuff, but I also have stuff that I have to, like, sit down and just write something or do something or whatever. And, like, I'm looking at tomorrow and I'm like, I've got a clear calendar. I can get there and maybe actually knock out two or three of these things that, like, I've been putting off or haven't spent a lot of time on. And because other things have been more pressing, I figure tomorrow is going to be a slow day. It's going to be kind of like the week between Christmas and New Year.
Do you guys have unlimited vacation, or you guys have a vacation?
No, it's all clocked and stuff.
Because that's the one thing. Me, I'm like, I got unlimited. This is the people that I hear complaining about the unlimited vacation. I'm like, oh, screw this. I'm like, these days are vacation days, whatever. I'm like, I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, it's pointless for me to do anything else.
Well, I have an amount, but, like, I'm always bumping up against the end because I don't use enough of them. So I'm always getting these notices every few months.
Why don't you take a vacation day tomorrow and that's it? Nobody's going to complain.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You want to drive to the city? Well, the traffic will be lighter.
Yeah, the commute's probably going to be fine.
That's true. The commute's going to be, like, nice. Yeah,
the commute's going to be fine. It's going to be quiet there. I'll hang out for a few hours. I'll get a couple things done, but probably not as much as I think I might, you know? And, you know, and it'll be fine. I probably won't, like, stay till, like, 6 p.m. or anything.
Right. You're not going to, exactly. You're not going to push the clock, but okay. But, you know, you'll get stuff done and then you'll come home.
Yeah. It'll be fine. And I don't know if I find anybody there, maybe I'll talk to them, but more likely I'll avoid them, you know, so it'll be fine. and you mentioned, like, there is school tomorrow, however.
Oh, you guys got school for over here for whatever reason.
But next week is spring break for us.
Ah, but we had spring break last week. The thing is that we came back this week and there was no school Monday. And then there's no school tomorrow.
So what's the freaking point? You should have just moved spring break and had it this week.
I mean, I don't know. But bottom line is that we've got, you know, we tomorrow is, you know, today I got nothing going on. And the reality is that there are so many things right now that I am working on that are dependent on somebody's input, like right now.
And they're not there.
And they're not there. Okay. It's like, look, one thing I got stuck, we were working on designing a solution. And literally on the call on Tuesday, the call broke up because, well, we're not the right people. We need to find the right resource. We're going to set out and find the right resource. That's it. That's where I'm at. I need some guy to approve something to move some stuff from data center A to B. That guy is not there either. All the things that I need to do, very few are, so few are that I need 3 signed documents from 3 different people to do things. None of those people are there. I went through my to-do list and I'm like, yeah, I could putz around and do some stuff, but I'm not going to get much of anything accomplished. So,
okay. So you're taking the time off.
I'm taking the time off.
You going to do anything exciting? Or are you just going to hang out around home and watch TV?
No, to take a guess what my son asked me to go do.
Oh, you're going to Disney.
That's why we're doing the podcast today.
You go to Disney like every week. I know it's not really every week, but...
This year, I will say it's been at this point, it's been like once a month, like right now.
You're making use of those season passes or whatever the hell.
Yeah, the annual passes. Yes. And you know. Yeah. So, yeah, I will do that because I was like, ah, oh, God, I don't know. I'm like, he said, well, he asked. And I was like, OK, fine. I'm like, let's just go. Whatever. I don't have any work and he doesn't have school. So we'll just go do that. But, I just it has got me all discombobulated, this having this. And this happens on some occasions where there are some big holidays in Latin America. Like Labor Day is not celebrated the same day that we do in most places outside the U.S. And that one's always one that gets me, okay? But then I have the opposite effect. Because like Thanksgiving, everybody's working.
Right.
And it's like... I spent this Thanksgiving with my laptop, you know, open while we were doing Thanksgiving stuff because I had a whole bunch of stuff that was going on. So I have the opposite. This whole thing with the, we should have more global holidays. Well, we do have some, like, you know, that are celebrated, I mean, in many countries, like Christmas, the Christmas holiday, that's the one really where everybody's gone. You know, we're gone, they're gone, everybody's gone.
That way. Well, at least with your folks in Latin America. I'm sure there's some countries where that's less of a thing.
Well, in the U.S., officially the company closes.
Yeah.
So we get that, which is nice. You know, they will close from, like, I think I looked at the calendar, from the 22nd to January 2nd. So we're officially, everybody's like, unless you're in, you know, any critical role, like, you know, to solve a customer problem or whatever.
An operation thing or something.
Right. Everybody is like, guys, everybody go take the time off. And I think that's, I like, they did that at HP. And they actually imported that from HP here because the former, one of the executives who passed away, he came here from HP and he brought that over.
Gotcha.
So that's okay. How we did that. So anyway,
shall I do my movie?
Do the movie. What are we doing today? What's the movie?
My movie this time is V for Vendetta from 2005.
V for Vendetta. Not anything related to that V TV series.
No, not V. That's on my list somewhere too. Like there was there was a mini series. There was a regular series. There was a sequel series. And
yeah.
I think there were a couple sequel mini series. And I think there was even a remake like not that long ago.
I got to say that I tried watching that again. It doesn't
hold up.
It doesn't. No. Well, in my opinion, it did not hold up.
I remember really liking it when it was brand new.
Me too. Yeah, I did too.
It was like an event. It was on NBC, right?
Yes, it was on NBC.
It was an event. I remember the little NBC special thing coming up.
Yeah.
And there was no like DVR or anything like that. So it was like you sit down in front of the damn TV to watch it.
Well, I did tape it.
You had one, but like,
well, not a DVR, but I had VHS tapes. Yeah, I did tape them.
You had a videotape. Yeah, I probably had VHS tapes too at that point. But
yeah.
But the point was, the primary mode of watching was you sat down in front of the TV when it was actually coming on, and you know, you watched the damn thing. And yes, I enjoyed V, but no, this is not V. This is V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta. Okay.
From 2005. Have you seen this?
I don't recall having seen this.
Okay. It's based on a comic, but it's not really a superhero movie, although it's kind of like the guy does some stuff, but
V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
Sounds like violence will happen.
Yes, there is violence. So just cast for a second. It's Natalie Portman, Hugo Weaving, John Hurt was in it.
Big cast. I mean,
yeah,
big, not big like they're fat, but I mean, like, it's just a big cast. It's an all star-studded cast. I think that's the better word. Yes,
star-studded cast.
Yeah, okay. not big, like, you know. Yeah, no, they're not big. I don't think they're big.
Anyway, let me give you the Wikipedia, the beginning of the plot summary. I won't spoil it by reading the whole thing, because also it's long.
Long.
In the near future, Britain is ruled by the Norse Fire political party, a fascist and totalitarian regime led by High Chancellor Adam Sutler, which controls the populace through propaganda and imprisons or executes those deemed undesirable, including immigrants, homosexuals, and people of alternative religions.
Sounds like Donald Trump.
Evie Hammond is the daughter of parents who become activists after her brother perished in a St. Mary's School terrorist attack 14 years earlier.
You know,
yes,
I think that I may have, like, maybe not watched the whole thing,
but seen parts of it.
Yeah, like bumped into it, like in, like, you know, when that's back when I had like linear, I canceled all those linear like cable movie channels.
Right. Yeah, because why? You know, you just pick the movie you want and watch it.
Yeah, it just made no sense. Yeah, it just made no sense anymore. But back when you had those, I think I probably like scrolled past it at some point.
Right. Anyway. The daughter of parents who became activists after her brother perished in the St. Mary's school terrorist attack 14 years earlier. They were detained and later died in prison when she was 12. One evening, a Guy Fawkes-masked vigilante, V, rescues her from assault by the secret police known as the Fingermen and has her witness his destruction of the Old Bailey via bombs.
The destruction.
The following morning on the 5th of November, V hijacks state-run television network to address the nation, claiming credit for the attack and encouraging the populace to resist.
Resist!
And join him outside the Houses of Parliament on Guy Fawkes Night. Blah, 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 blah. And he... Anyway, like, there's a resistance, there's a plot with the woman and the guy, and there's a... Anyway. Bottom line, thumbs up. I enjoyed the movie.
Okay.
You know, it sort of tracks the course of the rebellion as it gets like more, there's one thread of it that's like the outward political stuff and the rebellion and what's going on there. And then there's sort of a psychological back and forth between the vigilante guy and this woman and some other things surrounded by that. And who is really the guy and blah, blah, blah. And what's his true identity and this kind of stuff. Anyway, you know, without going into any more plot stuff, because it's been a long enough, so I don't remember the details and I don't want to just read the Wikipedia page, but I had fun. I enjoyed it. I like remember that I came in sort of skeptical of it. And I believe it's one where like it took me a while to get into it. Like when it started, I was like, I'm not sure. But like by the time it finished, I was like, okay, that was good. I enjoyed it.
I have to say that I think I had to not watch it because I was skeptical like you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are certain movies that just don't grab you like right away. It takes a little bit for you to get into it. And I think that they may have been the thing. And that's why I didn't watch it. Now I'm going to have to watch this damn thing.
And you know, like you said, this sounds like Trump, right? Like there were a lot of things where it's got this whole like allegory about totalitarianism and standing up against totalitarianism and people like, you know, cracking down on the homosexuals and the deviants and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and there's a lot, there's definitely references where you're like, and look, this thing came out in 2005. So long, long before the Trump era.
Yep. Yep.
But watching it just last year, recently, having gone through Trump and being in the midst of like Trump trying to come back, you definitely like felt some of that. Now, obviously, like, this is more, it's really amped up. There's lots of Nazi parallels as well.
I mean, wait, Nazi parallels? Like what? I'm sorry. What's the difference between?
Oh yeah, I know. You're like, what's the distinction? Right. Yeah. Yeah. But there was definitely a lot where you were sort of like, this is really grim, you know? But yeah, I enjoyed it. I had fun. I don't know what else to say. Is there something more to say? Like, I don't know. Like, but.
Well, no, you gave it a thumbs up. And basically, I mean, I'm kind of like I guess I need to watch this damn thing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth a watch. It's definitely worth a watch. And like I said, it sort of like it is one of those slow burn ones where. At the beginning, maybe not, but like by the time I got to the end, I was like, okay, you got me. I was sucked in. I felt for this thing. I felt sympathy for what was going on. And fundamentally, like this is one of those perverse things where the guy you end up finding sympathy for, and I mean, he's a fucking terrorist. He's blowing shit up. He's killing people. Mm-hmm. He's whatever. And you feel bad for this guy and you feel sympathetic. And at the same time, he's a fucking terrorist and, you know, whatever. But, you know, because it does do some of that stuff where you're like, I am feeling this way, but I don't know if I feel good about feeling this way, you know? So, because on the one hand, he's a terrorist. On the other hand, he's a terrorist against a clearly evil regime.
Right.
But right. Still, he's a fucking terrorist.
Right, right, right.
So. Okay, that's what, thumbs up. That's what I got. That's what I got this time.
So. Okay. All right.
So shall we take a break and then newsify us? Or that
Newsify it.
There we go. Boop, 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 boop. Okay. Yeah, fine. Okay. Here's the first break.
You're supposed to say do do do. Do do do. Alex Amzella. Alex Amzella is awesome. Its videos are fun. And today, once again, we have one of our most loyal subscribers here to tell you how awesome Alex Emzilla is.
I'd say on a rate from 1 to 10, Alex Emzilla is awesome at, I don't know, 37, 82. He's pretty radical. His videos are phenomenal. They're full of creativity. And
they're so funny and exciting to watch.
Wow, what happened to your voice then, Amy? Was that Dad pretending to be you because the audio was distorted when it really wasn't because I told him to?
Yes.
Good job on remembering, Dad. Do, do, do!
Okay, we are here. And as is traditional, Yvonne, you go first. So what do you want to talk about? Newsy thing. Is there a big one? Like we've been the last few weeks, we've done, you do one big one and then I do one big one. But if there are a bunch of small ones, that's fine.
Well, let's talk about Trump. Let's talk about Trump money.
Trump money. He has like quadrupled his net worth, right? He's like,
let's start first with, okay. He got, because this happened this week.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, it did. The first thing, yes. And let's go in order.
The first thing is that he got the reprieve on the money. He got an extra 10 days.
And let's say we went through the options on last week's show, and this is one we did not even talk about because we...
Well, almost everybody said that it was highly unlikely that this would be granted.
Yeah, no, like the general consensus of everyone you were talking about is his request to reduce the amount is going to get laughed out by the judges, especially after he went and basically bragged that he had enough money to pay it.
Yep.
But nevertheless, the judges came in and said, you know, that 500 some million that was talking about before, yeah, we're not going to go quite down to the 100 that you were suggesting, but 175 will do. And it was done in an order that did not explain the reasoning. It just said, this is the change we're making. It did not explain why. Everyone's speculating. No one really knows. There are a couple possibilities I've heard people talk about. One is just like they really felt that this was an undue imposition at this point in the trial. Let him put up a smaller amount. He can appeal. He will still, the full amount will still be on tap at the end if he loses his appeal. Another thing that people have been saying is, hey, maybe this is an early indication that the appeals court thinks the amount is too high to start with and that they're likely to reduce it as part of the appeal. I don't know.
I actually think that probably more likely than anything is that whatever evidence he produced about his ability to produce the bond showed that he just didn't have the money.
Well, that's the other thing people were complaining about, right? Is like, it happens all the time that people have judgments that will be a strain on them being able to pay, or they'll have to sell something or whatever. Most people don't get the amount knocked down because of that. So like people were complaining, like nobody else other than Donald would have them say, oh, you can't pay. We're so sorry. Let's reduce the amount.
Well, here's the thing, okay? We're still 3 more days into this. Still hasn't produced the money, okay? So we're still back in the situation where he produced a $100 million bond. Now he's got to produce another 175. So we're still on him having to be produced between the E. Jean Carroll bond and this one, about $300 million. And he still hasn't produced, the bond.
Now, first of all, like the general consensus seems to be much more like, okay, he can probably do this amount, but even if you can't, you're saying the number of days, like assume he could, he has 10 days to do it. Why would he do it 1 hour sooner than he has to?
No, I mean, I get that he wouldn't produce it probably earlier, but look, I still have my doubts about him being able to post this. And look, in order to post this, he needs to now put up as collateral or fork over $175 million in cash. If he's going to go to a bonding company, they're going to demand a fee of about $17 million in cash. Plus, he needs to post these properties as collateral, which then he can't negotiate, sell. He can't do anything with. Okay? Can't do a damn thing with them. Everybody's talking about the lifeline with the DJT stock. But nobody will take that stock as collateral for a loan. Okay? It's too volatile. And he can't borrow on margin against it because, again, it's too volatile. The only way that he could use that is for him to sell shares. And if he offers that many shares for sale,
it'll crash.
It'll tank the stock just brutally. So that's not an option.
If he gets what he wants out of it, maybe he doesn't care, but he still has to get the approval from the board, which of course is like his son and a bunch of friends and like that they could approve. But
yeah, but all those guys are grifters. They want to make money.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm not even sure that he may be able to, he's already on the hook for so much fucking money.
Right.
And we have heard how he is straining for cash right now because of the legal bills and all of this stuff. He probably is thinking, I don't want to crater this whole damn thing completely, okay? Just to get this money right now. It may not be a good idea if I'm able to fucking, like, stay out of jail.
I don't know. Like, again, like, all of the people who are, like, I shouldn't say all of them, but like most of the people who are trying to do analysis of this and saying there's no way in hell he'll come up with 500 now that it's under 200 are like, okay, he can probably do that.
Here's one thing. I don't agree. The analysis of his cash that he had fluctuated between $300 to $500 million. All the properties that he's got, as we kept digging into it last week before this happened, it was very obvious that we're super encumbered, that they had loans and upon loans upon loans, that the equity on any of those properties was dog shit. The hotel valuations, again, every one of those is losing money. Everybody keeps saying he's a billionaire, and I'm with Michael Bloomberg on his assessment that he says, that he said, look, there's only one fucking billionaire running for president when he was running for president. Okay. and that was him, because Michael's is of the same thought I am. He's not a billionaire. He may flash money around like a billionaire. He may have assets that maybe without all the debt may be worth billions. But just because you have assets that may be worth billions, if you owe billions against them, your net worth is shit. So, and because we can't properly assess how many debts, but every time somebody goes and looks at one of these, look, man, if he was worth $4 billion, really, really, there should have been no problem pledging an asset to get that kind of bond. There should have been none. And as was proven somehow, because our alma mater won a lawsuit against somebody and they had to pledge a bond that was twice as big and they got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't totally agree with this thing that.
So you think there's still a chance that he doesn't do it?
If he couldn't come up with 500 million, what I'm saying is, Mr. Billionaire, if you couldn't come up with 500 million, how the fuck can you still come up with 200 million? Because it means basically that you are, you know, 175, which means that basically, I mean, because that means that you were at the edge of the maximum that you could produce.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
I hear you. I mean, and we didn't mention explicitly, but we've implied it sort of. They also gave him 10 more days.
They also gave him 10 more days. So he's got a week now to go.
Yeah, he's got a week to go. It's like, what is it? April 4th is his deadline or something like that?
It's a week from today. So, yeah, because it was 3 days ago. So 10 days. Looking at the calendar.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's my calendar. There we go. Yeah, it's Thursday to 4th. Yes, Thursday to 4th.
So he's got, so like people have also said, even if like, let's say he offered the 100 because that's what he thought he could do. Now he needs only 75. Now, you had passed along an article on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, Yvonne, about how he apparently was running around passing the hat to other billionaires, asking them to like chip in.
Yeah.
It's one thing asking for $400 million, but maybe he can get $75 million out of his.
Well, it's $175 million, but
well, no, but maybe if he was willing to pay $100 anyway, maybe he can get $75 from his friends. Is what I'm saying.
You know, having spoken to a number of people that used to do business with Donald Trump in the past.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts them with money.
Well, see, here's the thing. Anybody giving him money is not expecting to get it back, is not expecting to make money off a deal or anything like that. They are giving it to him because they want to support him. End of story.
I guess. I mean, so they just have to, somebody has to, but here's the one thing. As of last week, nobody had ponied up money. Nobody was willing to pony up the money.
Well, but now he's selling Bibles.
Yeah, now he's selling Bibles. Yes. That's, you know, I mean, in the great presidential American tradition, where our dear president or candidate for president goes on TV and is hucking, you know, Bibles. He's hawking Bibles. Yes. I mean, that I know that. Look, I remember when Obama was selling his Bibles.
Ah, no, wait. Yvonne.
Yeah. No, Korans.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. No, or Korans. I'm sorry. You know, with the American flag back in the 2008 presidential run. I mean, that's. You know, I remember those. I think those were more expensive.
Now, another interesting thing, and I heard a number of people digging into this kind of stuff this week, is like people, like the people who buy his Bibles or buy his stupid shoes or what, or donate to his PAC to defend the election or whatever, make some assumptions about like how that money is dealt with and what it's going like. It's not going to the campaign. It's like in this particular case with the Bibles, you're not even actually buying them from Donald Trump. There's another company, which as usual for Donald Trump,
it's paying a license.
He's just licensed his name. So they get to sell it. He does one like infomercial for them. And he gets like a percentage of every one sold or whatever, and in a lump fee for letting them use his name. It's not
Sam, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Okay. You know, you take the list of the, you know, maybe the bottom billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me which ones that we know are real billionaires are going around and hawking Bibles. Or gold sneakers.
Oh, who is that new one? There was a news story this week. Seinfeld has passed the $1 billion mark for his network.
Yes, yeah. Is Jerry Seinfeld going around hawking Bibles on like some night evening infomercial? I mean,
probably. No. Not definitely not a billionaire. But I just want to point out Mike Huckabee. Yeah. Is doing like commercials for like sleep pills to help you sleep.
Okay, but that's the guy. Those are the guys that I totally expect. I expect the Mike Lindells, the Mike Huckabees, to be in need of, in order to get any money, to be doing this. Anybody who's a real fucking billionaire isn't doing this. Okay, which is why I keep going back to, I just don't believe he has the money. And if he does produce this much, it will strains his finances to the max.
I fully expect at this point that we will hear a few hours before the deadline that it has been paid. And we will get no details of where it came from or what's going on, but like we will just hear that he's put.
Well, we got the details. We got the details the last time.
Well, we heard that you know it was a bond from Chubb, but we didn't hear
the bond was produced. Okay, they have to turn it over. I mean,
But right, right. Yeah. But we don't know exactly what he put up to Chubb as collateral and things like that.
Oh, no, no. I mean, we assume it's real estate or whatever. Yeah, we don't know that part. But
well, no, Chubb said no to real estate, too. Like that was Chubb was one of the 30 that he went to for this bigger one as well. And they don't want to do the real estate. They were able to do the smaller number with his other stuff. But, you know, that was one of the points of contention on all of these folks. Now, the question is, does he have enough to do it now for the smaller number?
Here's, listen, all the calculation, here's where this is the reason why I say that even if he's reducing it, this is why this gets really tricky and complicated now, okay? Because the estimate of how much cash Trump has, you know, cash and stocks are like between $300 to $500 million. Okay. Those are the guesses that are around. And so if he goes and takes that much money and he places it to guarantee the bond, because fuck, I mean, he's basically putting up the fucking money and he can't touch that money.
Right.
I mean, that money is frozen. Okay. Then he can't, it's going to put the screws on his, on him financially big time. This is the reason why I am like, I'm still a little bit on, will he be able to do it? And if he doesn't, what the hell are going to be? There are going to be some visible strains on Donald. You can expect some.
Yeah. Well, and you know, people have mentioned like if it's too close to the limit, he's going to have trouble meeting payroll and all this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And actually, that brings up, from my understanding, I this has not been talked about much, but I saw at least one graphic of this like more than a week ago. Like, it's not actually like he's not the only defendant here. And the total amount is actually broken up with a certain amount that's him personally, a certain amount that is his company, a certain amount that is each of his kids, a certain amount that is that some other officers of the company. So, like, do you know, has Don Jr. paid his bond? You know, or are they bothering to appeal, or are they all wrapping it up together? I don't know those details. Like, cause
I don't know. I have to admit that I have not been paying attention to that. Okay.
Cause there is a split. I mean, everybody talks about the whole big number, but it's actually subdivided into different bits for different ones of the defendants. And I mean, maybe they're all rolling it up for purposes of this. And that's why everybody talks about the big number. I don't know, but I fully expect him to roll up a few hours before the deadline, and we just hear that it's paid. Maybe we hear the name of an underwriter, not underwriter. That would be an entirely different thing.
Yeah.
But we won't know the details of, like, what did he have to put up? Did he have to sell anything? Did he have to do this? Did he have to do that? Because we're now not talking about the scenarios where he has to do a fire sale on Trump Tower or something. If he comes up with this, there'll be some other, you know, I don't know. But you think there's a decent chance he still can't do it at all?
I think there's a decent chance that he still can't do it. Okay, I think that there is a decent chance. There is a significant, way above non-zero chance that he still can't do it.
Hmm. Okay. You seem to be the odd man out on that prediction.
Well, you know, I have seemed to be the odd man out on saying that this bastard isn't really a fucking billionaire.
Now,
for a long time.
Now, Yvonne, you are once again forgetting DJT.
Ah, DJT, yes.
And I know it's locked up and all that, but he's gone from being worth $2 billion to being worth like 6 or 8 or something now. Cause,
whatever, yeah.
Because the thing's gone through the roof, right? And now it's started to go back down, right?
It definitely did. It hit a peak of, what the heck was it? 6987. Okay. When originally we were talking about this thing was worth like in $30-$40 a share. It went up like by 50, you know, over 50%. It started coming back down today, down 6.4%. Look, but I'll tell you, look, flat out, look, man, everything around this is just a classic pump and dump. And I've been around some of these.
So what you're saying, Yvonne, is I should right now empty my 401k and put it all into this.
Maybe like short the stock.
I know you mentioned that last week, but yeah.
Look, here is the one thing. I mean, I tell you, everybody wants to like, hey, you know, we do all this crowdfunding, the meme stocks and whatever. People want to meme a stock. I if I remember correctly, the way that we do this is to start. We have to buy puts. Just, you know, because the best way, because selling short has a problem that in a short sale, the losses can be unlimited, which is why there is substantial margin requirements on short sales, because the stock can keep going up. So as the stock goes up, you lose. So the losses can be unlimited. But hey, start heavy action on the puts. Just, you know, and by the way, apparently there are people doing that, because one of the first messages that I got from Schwab related to trading around the stock, I had the window open, but also sent a notification, because many people traded that damn stock in the first day. I mean, the trading volume the first day was, it was almost double the outstanding shares. It was like close to 50 million shares traded. Today, only 17 million traded. Okay, so the volume is way down. Okay, but what that says to me is that, look, the guys that made the money, those people all cashed out. Dude, I mean, those people just oh, at this price, sell everything. But that there's also a lot of heavy options action against this. I haven't seen I wasn't able to go into detail to see, because you can see how many puts call, you know, how many bets against the stock price are out there. But the one thing, hey, people want to bury him. Let's all go out and just start buying heavy, you know, put options against the stock, just in mass. And that way you can tank the stock and you can make them bankrupt again. Make Trump bankrupt again. What is that? Make MTBA. MTBA.
MTBA.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue like MAGA.
I know it doesn't. I know. It's the best I could do in short notice.
MABA? Make America bankrupt again?
Not America.
That's not what you're advocating?
No, not particularly, no.
Okay, so MITBA. So you're still hoping for the scenario where they get to start like rolling up with the marshals and taking
his. I still say that there is a still substantial chance that he still can't do this. Because I still call bullshit on how much money he really has available liquid.
Okay.
And since they won't, so apparently nobody's accepting the real estate. If his only options are that cash he has on hand, he's gonna be faced with a very difficult decision.
Okay. Very good. Any other Trumpy stuff? Like to roll into this segment before we move on to something completely different.
What are the Trumpy stuff? Anything else going on?
I think the bits that are going on are his other legal case, the New York case.
Well, he's going to trial. The trial date's been set official 15th of April.
Yeah. So his team went in this week to try to argue that it should be dismissed entirely, or at the very least, the trial date should be significantly delayed to never. And the judge was basically like, yeah, no, this is bullshit. We're starting April 15th. So that's very soon. And so Trump's response to this has been, well, first, he started doing his usual Trumpy stuff. And very quickly, there was a request from the prosecution for a gag order on Donald Trump, which the judge granted almost immediately, covering court staff, potential jurors, all this kind of stuff that, you know, Trump couldn't talk about them in relation to the potential witnesses, couldn't talk about them in relation to the case. So, for instance, like Michael Cohen's expected to be part of this. He potentially is allowed to say Michael Cohen's a scumbag, but he can't necessarily say Michael Cohen's a scumbag who's going to come into the court and lie about everything, right?
Right.
But generally speaking, he's not allowed to be harassing court staff, potential witnesses, all this kind of stuff. But very importantly, the actual prosecutor and the actual judge are not included in the gag order. So Donald Trump has been spending the last few days directly attacking the judge and the judge's daughter.
So is that bad?
I you know, it's one of those things where it's like, what's the plan? Now, I believe one of the folks on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack said, look, the plan is you insult the judge and his family enough that then you can claim on appeal that the judge was biased against you. Because, of course, he was biased against you because you were going after him all the time.
That's a possible, I guess. Okay.
And, you know, but at the same time, it's like, really, your plan here is go after the person who has a huge amount of influence over how this is going to go for you.
It's not a great plan.
You know, it's not like, I mean, he did the same thing with, how do you say his name? Endergan, whatever, the civil trial, and that wasn't even a jury trial. The judge straight up was making a decision, and you keep calling him an asshole and biased and blah, blah, blah. You're not endearing yourself to this person who has a huge amount of power over you. And yeah, so maybe that is the appeal plan. I don't know, but I feel like it's not that well thought out. It's just like Donald Trump can't fucking help himself.
I think that's more likely that it's that instead of a strategy. Yes.
Yeah. And so we're starting in a couple weeks. And
is this going to be televised?
No. New York does not even no cameras, no audio.
Damn it.
No electronic devices at all in the courtroom. So it's this thing where the reporters are allowed in there, but they have to run out and give their report and run back in, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, so this might be the only one that actually happens this year. And it's going to be the one that is the least visible. I mean, it's the least visible in terms of that kind of stuff. It would be great to have it televised and all that. I mean, great. It would be a fucking circus. But like, if we want to like really increase public awareness of his wrongdoing, the more front and center it is, the better. Cause like even Fox won't be able to resist televising this shit. Like if it was on TV, but you know, instead, this is going to be the quietest one where you're going to rely on sort of after the fact reports and transcripts and things like this. And also it's the one that has people keep talking, it's the least compelling story, right? It's he falsified some documents to hide the fact that he paid off Stormy Daniels, right? And so it's very easy for people to dismiss that as like, oh, whatever. Like even all these polls you have of like, if he's convicted of a felony, then we won't be able to vote for him. I could see lots and lots of people justifying, oh, well, I didn't mean that kind of felony.
Oh, God. Well,
and also this is one that uses a unique theory to elevate it to a felony. So it's also a legitimate possibility that he could come out being guilty, but only of a misdemeanor at the end of all this. And so, yeah, but it's what we got. So, but it'll actually be starting in not very long. It'll start on tax day.
Oh, God, speaking of tax day, almost forgot about that.
Sorry to remind you.
Well,
No, we don't need to go into a tangent on taxes.
Yeah. No. I wasn't going to go into the taxes. No, what I was going to say is that today I was looking at this thing, and it's like what you mentioned. They will somehow twist themselves into figuring out why, even if he's convicted, a lot of these diehards will never give up this guy. They just will never give up this guy.
The diehard Trumpies, the 30 or 40%, like, of the
those guys are,
yeah, because there is 30 or 40% of the American public at this point that are all in. I mean, nothing's going to change them. But, like, so this is on the margins, though. And the margins matter. Like,
the margins matter.
We've got a closely divided population. So if you peel off a few percent here, that's all you need.
It's just not going to be a collapse in support. That's the thing. It will peel off people, but it's not the collapse in support.
Yeah, and... Well, I mean, I guess it depends what you mean on collapse, right? Like, no matter what happens here.
No, it's not going to go down to 5% MAGA support.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you're not going to have Joe Biden do a Ronald Reagan style landslide, no matter what happens.
Right, exactly. No matter what.
No matter what, that is not in the cards ever. Like, we are not in that kind of world right now.
Nope.
But can it make a difference around the margins? Sure. And I was alternating between things for what I'll talk about next. But since we're talking about this, let's slide right into
after
this break. I'm going to talk polling again a little bit. So
sliding. I'm going to be sliding.
Slipping, sliding away. Isn't that a song? Slip, sliding.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
There you go. Anyway, we will be back after this, and I'll talk polls for a little while. Back after this.
What?
No, that was bad. Oh, no, that was bad. No.
Once upon a rainbow, you were on the floor, eating the bugs that you found upon my face.
No, what? Bye. Okay, so polls. Here's the thing. Like, just last weekend, I put out another one of my Election Graphs blog posts summarizing the situation. You know, 227 days out, now with presumptive nominees. If you want to read it, go to electiongraphs.com and then click on the blog piece on the navigation, and you'll get to that blog post. And the bottom line there was that things were still moving in Trump's direction. Like, there are a bunch of ups and downs in between, but if you compared, like, my post on March 23rd to my previous post in January, like, I did one of these posts right before the Iowa caucuses, and then this one right after, essentially, like a week after, after the time both candidates clinched their nominations. The movement was still overwhelmingly towards Trump in that time frame. And like I said, there's some jitters in between, but if you compare January to March, things had continued to move towards Trump. As soon as I fucking posted that, like, every single poll since then, practically, there are a couple exceptions, but practically every single poll since then has moved things in a Biden direction in my poll averages. Now, he's still behind. It hasn't sort of pulled things across the center line. Like, there are no states that have flipped from, you know, Trump leading to Biden leading. But in a whole bunch of states, Trump's margin over Biden in these polls has started to drop again. North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona, for instance, had all had significant Trump leads, like over 5%, 6, 7, 8%. They have dropped down to under 5 now. So like they're within the realm of Todd again. For a number of months, it looked like those three states, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina, were like, okay, they're just way out of reach this time. But no, they're dropping. Now, you know, a 4.9% lead for Trump in North Carolina is not insubstantial. I don't want to imply that at all. Like, that's still, Trump's pretty decently ahead there. But it's a lot less than it was. And same thing for Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, which are the key ones that where, look, if Biden's going to win, there are very few paths to win that don't involve picking up Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Oh, yeah. He has to take those. Yeah.
He has to take those. I mean, you can imagine some scenarios like, well, Sam, what if he loses those but wins Texas?
No. He needs He needs Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. That's a given.
And Trump is still leading in my poll averages in all three, but by less. And so the question is, like, are we finally seeing some movement? Like, I've been saying for a while, like, Trump has to be near his ceiling. Like, and all of these things have to start dragging him down at some point. Is this it yet? It looks like it, but I do want to be careful, right? It has only been less than a week since the polls that really made a difference here started coming in. Now, polls are delayed. So like some of these polls were actually in the field a couple weeks ago and just were released this week. And so if you look at the dates of the polls, it really does look like, though, the time that things started moving was right around Super Tuesday-ish. And this comes back to something Yvonne and I talked about a couple weeks ago, which is so many people did not believe
they were going to vote for these guys again,
that we were really going to have a Trump versus Biden rematch. And so all of their answers to hypotheticals and polls and all this kind of stuff were really affected by, like, yeah, you're asking me about Biden versus Trump, but that's not going to happen. And I think now people are starting to realize, yeah, that's going to happen. And then we also had Biden's State of the Union address, which like alleviated some of the concerns about his age.
Well, we haven't been hearing that shit anymore. Everybody everybody seemed like for weeks that they were fixated.
There was a drumbeat on that. Like it's like all of your major media folks couldn't stop talking about, well, Biden's really old and that's going to be a problem, blah, blah, blah.
And then he gave the speech and everybody stopped talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, it may come back. He's still old.
Yeah.
You know, but it certainly took the edge off that. And in the meantime, I've been hearing a lot more people paying attention to Donald Trump's own issues with being coherent.
This is that he's completely incoherent every night.
Yeah. And so we'll see. Like, but again, it has only been, you know, I feel like maybe I'm even premature even discussing this on here because, you know, it really has only been a few days of good polls, but there were a lot of them in a lot of critical states.
But here's the one thing: the state polls are always like a lagging indicator because they take a while. And there's been a number of national polls that have come out that were showing a big tightening, and in some cases, you know, a Biden taking a national lead. Okay. In polls, like the Economist polling average, for example, theirs flipped towards Biden ahead for the first time,
yeah,
for example. And there were some others that had that move. And those are usually leading indicators of what's going on. So, you know, we have to wait a little bit more. But it does seem that what you mentioned with the polls is something that is happening, that it seemed like Trump had his, you know, his best case, and that the race has been, numbers have been moving in the other direction. So that's what it's looking at right now. And
yeah, I mean, and to be clear, right now, Biden is still behind in these polls. But if the momentum has started to change, that's still worth noting. And, you know, and we've talked before about, you know, the huge number of people who are saying neither, and will that collapse, and when will that collapse? And again, and we have all these weaknesses that we're talking about, like, you know, Donald Trump being incoherent. We just mentioned Donald Trump potentially having to give up a bunch of money and prove that, hey, he's not really as rich as we all thought. Well, not we all, but as lots of people thought.
Right.
We've got even if it's not going to be televised, we've got the first criminal trial coming up shortly. And the other thing is just Biden's actually been out campaigning the last couple weeks.
Yes.
Ever since that State of the Union address, he's been in swing states almost every fucking day.
Yeah. He's been hitting the road hard. And by the way, Trump has been doing the opposite.
Yes. Oh, but wait, he put out that announcement that he won the golf tournament at his.
Oh, God. That was the most, that was the most ridiculous fucking announcement, and the burn that he got from Biden on that. Gee. Congrats.
Great accomplishment.
Way to go. You won the tournament at your own place. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so we got a lot.
Sam,
of
I think I won the at my place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been playing a lot of Dig Dug.
Ooh, Dig Dug on that little console that you bought.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I got a set up. I got to get mine set up. It's been in the hallway for like 3 or 4 years now.
I'm the champion.
Okay,
I'm the champ right here, buddy.
My machine, if we ever set it up, it's got a bunch of games on it, but it's a Tempest. It's got Tempest.
It's got Tempest? Shit. I'm going to have to go up there. You know, Manu loves Tempest. You know, his doesn't have Tempest. I'm going to have to finally, like, come back to visit again, and Manu and I will have to assemble it so we can finally play on the damn thing.
Yeah, exactly.
At this, it probably will be wet.
It's got, like, Tempest and Centipede and all those. Shit.
Oh, I love that.
Because it's got the controller that's the little spinny knob. So it's got all the games that, like, use that.
Fuck. I have to come visit Seattle. It only took me a few hours to put it together. So.
Yeah. So anyway.
So aside from me, I'm the Dig Dug champion. Yeah, I mean, he's really stopped campaigning.
Yeah, because, and he's going to be tied up in fucking court anyway. Like, that's the thing about the criminal trial. Like, the civil ones, he was showing up anyway because he wanted to make a spectacle of it. But he has no choice on the...
And by the way, Obama's also hitting the road, been hitting the road. And publicly to campaign for Biden. I don't know if you've seen this too. So today. The massive fundraiser in New York that they had, where apparently they raised $25 million in one fundraiser.
Well, and you interrupted. I just wanted to say, like, yeah, the thing, the difference between the civil trial where Trump has been showing up because he wanted to make a spectacle. The criminal trial, he has no choice. He has to be there every day of it, you know?
Oh, isn't that great?
So that'll be fun. But money. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Biden is way, way, way ahead of Trump in fundraising. And not just Biden, but also the Democrats versus the Republicans. They're, you know, the RNC is almost out of fucking money.
Listen, let's be clear. But it's just almost fucking out of money.
Well, and they're paying the legal fees anyway.
Well, no, but it's not beyond that. So yes, the first thing they did, they installed Lara Trump in charge of the RNC. Okay. Right. They fired everybody who knew anything about anything at the RNC. They fired everybody who was in charge of, like, for example, the mail-in ballot, get people voting. They fired all those people, too. And so now it's another one of his crony moron operations, okay, where, and they fired all the experienced people with how many months to the election? Like 7 months? That's insane.
7 minus 4. Yeah, whatever.
It's 7.
The math is hard. I've discussed
it, I mean, it's insane, Sam. They fired everybody that knew how to do anything over there. Oh, and apparently they want to bring back Paul Manafort.
Yes, they wanted to have Paul Manafort run the convention again.
We could have like jail cells at the fucking convention, you know?
Well, and I was joking about, you know, the RNC paying his legal fees. Laura Trump has actually said they're not going to pay his legal fees.
Yeah, bullshit.
However, wait, no. The RNC themselves are not going to, but here's how they're structuring it. For instance, they were having a fundraiser for the RNC. But the way, have you heard this? Have you heard how this works?
I'm pretty sure I've heard that now for the fundraiser, the money that
let me say it. So for the fundraisers they've had, this is like, they had one this week that was officially an RNC fundraiser where they're hoping the rich people come and dump tons and tons of money on it. Okay. Here's how it actually works. It's an RNC fundraiser, and the RNC has said they will not pay his legal fees. But the first $6,000 that you give goes to his legal fees. And then the next $6,000, and this is per individual, not for the whole event, right?
Right.
Every individual giving, like the first $6,000, and I forget the exact order of these, so forgive me if I get them wrong, but you'll get the general idea of the scam is in here. The first $6,000 goes to like his campaign. The second $6,000 goes to his super PAC, and his super PAC is giving to the legal fees. And then once you get past the $12,000 limit, then anything else you give goes to RNC.
That the RNC may get a few bucks.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And so the idea is, the RNC is not paying his legal fees technically, but the RNC fundraiser is still raising funds for his legal fees.
All the money is exactly. All the money that is being raised for the RNC is first going to Trump and his legal fees. And then after that, they will get the scraps.
Yes.
So basically, the RNC is fucked.
Well, and down ballot Republicans are scared.
I mean, there will be no money.
Yet one of the primary sources of funding for, like, if you're running for the House or the Senate or even local races, you hope to get some money from the RNC. And the RNC is not going to have jack to give you.
They're not going to have any money. Nothing.
I mean, they've got a little bit right now, but I remember a few months back, there were reports that they were scraping the bottom just to make payroll and stuff. You know, the RNC is in financial trouble.
Well, but they made this worse now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made this very worse. But Sam, talking about the polling and talking about everything else, so we have skipped one subject related to, well, it's related to polling, but it's a result. Okay.
All right. Go for it. I know what you're talking.
Explain to me what happened with the Democrats taking a House seat in Alabama.
State House.
Was that? No, I kept reading it. So it is a state
house. It is a state house, not the.
Why the hell? Okay. Because that's what I kept reading it again. Is this? Okay. So that was a state house seat.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I kept reading it again and reading it again, and I'm like, well, I don't remember any fucking Alabama, you know, House Congressional 10th District, and I'm like, fuck. I mean, is this a House seat?
No. It is a state House seat. If this was a House seat, there would be a much bigger deal about it being talked about because it would affect the balance of the chamber.
Okay, I figured it had to be something like that, or we already had counted it, one or the other. Okay, but okay.
No, it is a state House seat, but nevertheless, this is a Trump district where this exact person had run before and lost by like 7-8% in this district. The person that had won ended up having to resign. There were ethical issues.
Jeez, what a shocker.
Oh, I remember what it was. I heard a report on this. It was discovered that he did not live in his district.
Gee, what a shocker.
And so there were fraud issues on both, like him voting.
Another Republican committing fraud?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Sam, no. No.
So anyway, he was being charged by stuff and he resigned his seat. And so there was a special election for his seat. And again, just recently, like this guy had beat her and she had lost by like just under double digits. It was like 8 or 9%. I forget exactly what it was, but it was like that. This time, not only did she won by a 25% margin.
And that's why I was looking at the number. I'm like, whoa.
Now, I don't know, like, who they put up against her. I haven't read a lot about, like, what this was. But I have read about what her campaign was about. And her campaign was 100% about abortion. And these fuckers are, like, getting into our personal life. She had an on-air commercial talking about her own medical history and the abortion that she had and how they were trying to reach in to the, you know, medical and personal decisions of women in Alabama. And like, this was the theme of the campaign. Like she completely leaned into this. Like there's still Democrats nationally who are like, yeah, okay, it's an issue, but we can't push too hard on that.
Bullshit. They got a fucking, this has been proven time and time again right now that this thing is a fucking winner.
Yeah, I think in general, and this is something.
And actually Biden has been like repeat, at least, you know, he's been banging the drum on this too, on the national stage too.
He has, and Kamala Harris is like their big mouthpiece on this. She's been talking about it a lot.
Yeah.
But I think in general, and I know I've said this before on the show going back a long time, but I think the Democrats are finally starting to like pay attention here. Not to me, because whatever. Yeah, well, but you know, it's
well,
like.
Well, we don't know. Maybe they're listening to this at the DNC every day for all we know.
Yeah. You know, Biden is basing his entire strategy off listening to Curmudgeon's Corner and following our advice. No, it's the Democrats for years and years and years when it came to quote unquote culture war issues, which is not just abortion, but is also, you know, LGBT issues. It is also, what was I going to say? All of the sort of cultural touch. I know. Did I have enough letters? All of the cultural touchstones about, you know, gay rights, trans rights, multicultural diversity, immigrants, certainly abortion and women's rights and women's place in the world and all this kind of stuff. The Democrats have been defensive about all that stuff. And have sort of, whenever the Republicans have brought it up on an issue as an issue, have sort of said, let's go talk about the economy or something, you know, instead of just outright saying, yes, we're for all that stuff.
Right.
And you guys are evil for not being for it. And you are cruel and heartless. And
this is a fucking winner.
All of this is a winner, and I think maybe it wasn't 30 years ago.
Oh, but it is now. It is now.
You know, and so they have to lean into all this stuff and just own it. own that. Yeah,
I remember in the 90s, even still with Clinton, how saying that you were pro-choice back then was kind of a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
It was seen like it. Okay. You know, you don't want to be too loud about it. You know, you don't want to alienate the conservative Democrats. Okay. Which there were such things. Okay. A lot of them, actually. But now it's like, no. It's like right now, coming out full throated in favor of that is
of all
is
of winner. These things, all of yeah. these issues. I mean, maybe some more than others, but I think across the board, I mean, like, I mean, you were talking about going back to the Clinton administration, but hell, even in the Obama administration on gay marriage, right? Like that was a big whole deal. And when Joe Biden was the first one to say, yeah, I'm for gay marriage, like he was way out ahead of Obama, you know? Yeah. And, yeah. But, you know, and
I'm going to say, like, right now, we talk about people, the Democrats, okay, that one that James died Carville. This week. No, I was going to talk about Lieberman.
I want to talk about Carville in a second, but go ahead. Talk about Lieberman.
Well, okay. Well, save a Carville. Okay. I want to hear the Carville part. I was going to talk about Lieberman, who last week I saw him on TV. Okay. Before apparently he died due to a fall. Okay. Injuries from a fall.
Yeah. He like fell down the stairs or something and suffered enough injuries that he didn't make it.
I saw him on TV last week, and you know, I was, look, Joe, rest in peace, okay? Because I don't think you're a bad guy, but you're wrong, okay? On this whole thing, well, the Democrats are too liberal, blah, blah, blah. We need some new... No. Bullshit. No. No, no, no. Dead wrong.
Right.
No. Because what I... here's the one thing that I've seen. What I've seen is even that, you know, AOC, for example, one attitude change that I've seen from her, which is very, which I really have to give her credit on this. Okay. Which is that she has seen that governing is hard.
Yeah.
That it's not that the Democrats are there. Oh, you guys don't want to pass these things to help these people. And it's like, no, it's just that it's impossible to pass. With the people there, we get your point, but, you know, stop ripping the Democrats in charge. They're not the ones blocking it. You have to look at the spectrum. There is no way to get the support. And she gets that now. Okay?
Yeah. I remember when she first burst onto the scene, and especially her first session in Congress, where she did, like, there were a number of committee hearings where she was just outstanding. Like in terms of how she questioned people and what she brought up and stuff. I was like, this woman has lots and lots of potential.
Fuck yeah.
She just has to get some experience under her belt and grow up a little bit.
And she has before our eyes. And she has. And I think that she's going to prove to be a very strong leader in the future, because she's going to bring the strength of those ideas. But now she understands that it's not the people on her side that are trying to block it. It's just that it's hard to get it passed.
Right.
Any of this shit.
Well, and to what I was saying about lean into the culture war issues, I would stop short of leaning into like full Bernie Sanders socialism stuff. Like, yeah, you want to push to some degree in that direction, but I think it's the social issues that are the key winners. The economic ones, maybe in another couple of election cycles.
Look, healthcare is a winner.
Yes, agreed.
Look, healthcare is a winner. People's rights are a winner. And I think that, you know, hell, defending Social Security is a winner.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Medicare is a winner. Okay.
You don't have to be Bernie Sanders to be defending Social Security.
Exactly. And you can expand on those and expand on healthcare. You know, I think that the one thing is that these guys, I mean, fuck Trump, but these guys are talking openly about gutting Social Security and Medicare. I mean, it's crazy, okay? They're talking about it. Oh, yeah, we're going to gut this shit. This all's bullshit.
Right.
Okay? I was just like, what, you know, so yes, Joe is wrong. But anyway, Carville, what did Carville say?
Okay, so I posted this, and here, there's an article in The Hill, but the key portion of it is... I guess it was actually from an interview. I'm trying to go to the stupid article and there are all these pop-ups coming up about subscribing to the fucking newsletter and shit.
Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. All these terrible websites now, which it's just ad and pop up and ad and pop up and another ad and pop up. Like, God, for the love of God.
Yes. So anyway, the actual interview was with Maureen Dowd from the New York Times, but it's been all over the place. Here is the quote from her, from him, from Carville, from him.
Right. Quoted by Maureen Dowd.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And he was talking about, Carville voiced concerns about the culture of the Democratic Party and how it could be impacting Biden's support among voters, especially those that are male. Quote, "A suspicion of mine is that there are too many preachy females. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you," he said. "The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas." And I responded to this on Mastodon with, "James Carville can go fuck himself." You know, like,
I don't agree. I don't agree that.
I think I said frack because I wimped out on saying fuck, but you know.
No, you loser. Anyway.
But this is like, no, James Carville. No. Maybe this was true when you were saying the economy's stupid in 92 or whatever, but this is not today's world.
He's doing the same thing as Lieberman, okay? You know, no, you guys, yeah, you guys are past your expiration date. That's what you're showing, like, with this shit, okay? Sorry, no.
Yeah.
That's not.
No, at this point, you got to lean into this, especially
100%
when you have somebody like Donald Trump actively trying to push the other direction on every single one of these issues.
100%.
The American public at this point is overwhelmingly in favor of gay marriage. They're overwhelmingly in favor of abortion rights.
And fuck those fragile males.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Absolutely. Like, those people aren't going to vote for you anyway.
No, they're not.
The people who are really, like, all upset about this kind of stuff, they're flocking to Donald. You're not going to convince them.
They're driving this 10-mile-per-gallon pickup truck with a fucking Trump sticker on the back. Like, I just saw one today, Trump 2024. And then on the side, talking about Jesus Christ on a fucking, like, driving a pickup truck that literally a Ford Raptor gets 10 miles per gallon. Look, this son of a bitch, you're never getting this asshole.
Right.
On the Democrats' side.
Meanwhile, like, if anything is true about where Biden has to sort of beef things up, it's you are getting some of the young folks who are disappointed that he hasn't gone far enough. You've got the thing, you've got everybody upset.
Ah, it's the same fucking thing they said about Obama. I'm so pissed off. It's like all these fucking people.
I know. But like, if you are going to take action to try to pull somebody in, you want to convince those folks that you're doing the best you fucking can, as opposed to trying to get those other people.
And talking about the young people, I will tell you the one thing that Biden did very well this week in a few of the campaign places, where there were some young people that started protesting relating to Gaza. And you know what he did? He didn't treat them like shit.
No, he said they have a point.
He said they have a point. Okay. He acknowledged them and he agreed that, yeah, I mean, you guys have a point. Okay. And I think, you know, and the U.S. right now, after giving some leeway to Israel for some time, look, I mean, they just pushed this U.N. resolution now. It finally got through on.
Yeah. With a U.S. abstention, not a vote for, but still.
Still. Okay. That's.
It's the first time the U.S. has not blocked a resolution like that in living memory.
I mean, I'm sorry, living memory says I remember since the creation of Israel, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have never done that. So, you know, I think that he's trying to, yeah, I think he's come on the campaign trail looking good, like right now. And so I think that that's what's helping a lot of things. So,
yeah. And so just to summarize again, like the polls have started to move towards Biden a little bit, but I want to wait a few more weeks to really judge. Cause like they started, you know, according to some of my measures, things were moving towards, you know, Trump had peaked at the very beginning of January, and, you know, but like that was a very temporary like thing. And then it started moving. Yeah. There was like some weird jagged up and downs in the thing, but it turned out that the movement towards Biden that looked like it was happening in January was very temporary, and it reversed and started going back to Trump again after that. So like it is early, but unlike that time where there didn't seem to be anything directly associated with the movement, this time it does seem to coincide in time with the candidates clinched their nominations.
Yep.
Biden had a really good speech, and Biden started hitting the trail.
Yep.
You know, so we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, I got, let's see. I'm not sure who's been picking what, but I've got, we got a couple of things that maybe we want to hit. Okay.
Do you want to do we were just going to talk about this stuff and then wrap it up. But if you got a couple of quick hits you want to do.
Well, but there's a couple of quick hits. Okay.
Okay, in that case, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with some quick hits.
AlexMZilla.com, being Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day, YouTube by night, AlexMZilla.com. AlexMZilla is AlexMZilla, and .com is period and then com.
Okay, and we're back, and your first quick hit is?
One is, okay, let me give a quick hit. DeSantis, okay, folded against Disney, okay?
Now, I heard some people saying that the final thing was actually in DeSantis's favor. No?
No, that's what DeSantis said, but that's not correct.
Ah.
Okay, because Disney and DeSantis agreed to terminate all litigation, okay?
Okay.
Well, guess what? That by doing that, Disney completely won, okay? Because what happened is, the thing that the DeSantis board had come in and were aghast and wanted to block was that right before the turnover, Disney went and legally passed this long-term plan that allowed them to do whatever the fuck they wanted for the next 30 years. Okay?
Yes.
And that it was irrevocable. Okay? That the new board couldn't do shit and basically took away literally almost any decision-making from the board except to basically run ambulances and fix potholes and some shit like that, and that's it. Okay? So, by him saying, oh, all right, litigation's over, we're gonna stop, whatever, basically, he completely capitulated.
Okay. So, Disney got what they wanted, actually.
Oh, yeah, Disney completely got what they wanted, because they had set it up, because they said, oh, you're gonna take the board, basically, okay, we're gonna take away all their power. And that's what wound up happening. The board still exists. And even him, Viley, even appointed some people that actually know shit about the kind of things that the board is responsible for. He switched out the political hacks that he first put in that did nothing and wound up putting people like somebody that had been in charge of the Department of Transportation under Charlie Crist, or, you know, people that knew shit about what they were supposed to do. And that's pretty much the end of it.
Okay, what's your next quick hit, Yvonne?
We had a bridge collapse.
Yes, we certainly did in Baltimore. I'm pretty sure I've been over that bridge many times.
And I've crossed that bridge too, I'm sure. Well, according to some right-wing news sources, it appears that a combination of, what was it? DEI, open borders, the Affordable Care Act caused the bridge to fall, Sam.
Of course it did.
Somehow. I mean, it's usually what makes bridges fall, I guess.
And again, this is the kind of thing that, going back to what we said in the last segment, Democrats should absolutely lean into just mocking this shit.
And they have been now. I think that's one thing that they hadn't been doing as actively. But now this is happening more often, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. So you don't think it's not that, and of course,
it's not that the actual situation was, of course, bad, just not related to those things. You know, tanker lost power, potential maintenance issues on the tanker, potential issues about how fortified the bridge itself was, what rules are on when tugboats do things. There are all kinds of stuff. But bottom line, you know, massive, massive shipping container boat. Should I call it a ship? Shipping container ship.
It's a container ship.
Container ship. There you go. Yeah, it's not built out of shipping containers. It carries shipping. Anyway, it's a container ship.
Okay, here we go. I found a summary that was better. According to the right-wing media, Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg use Hunter's laptop and DEI to steer a ship full of vaccinated immigrant drag queens into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore this morning. Taylor Swift is also implicated in the crash.
Of course she is.
And the thing is that satire, and the truth is not that far off of what they were talking about in the news.
No, it's not. You know, at first you heard about this stuff and thought, oh, okay, haha, funny. But then you see actual clips of the people on Fox trying to make this case sort of half-heartedly. And it's like, really? Really?
I mean, Maria Bartiromo, okay, who I know has been a hack for 20 years. I mean, she got fired from CNBC because specifically she was taking payoffs and doing shit from like the people she was reporting on.
Right.
Okay. Which is why she wound up on fucking unemployment. And she goes, well, how has the open borders caused this accident? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Live on TV. And I'm like, huh?
Okay, next up, I will give a quick hit.
Okay.
NBC hired Rona McDaniel, a former head of the RNC that we were talking about before, and she was going to be one of their paid commentators, paid experts, whatever, to talk about Republican politics, and they hired her, and there was an immediate rebellion within NBC News and MSNBC.
I don't understand who thought this was a good idea. I mean, this woman is vile.
Well, some of the quotes that are coming out from the people who were involved in that decision were, well, presumably they're leaks from the Rona McDaniel side of things, but were basically all about how they'd been courting her for months about wanting to have alternative viewpoints to present because they have to be fair and provide a wide range of viewpoints and all this kind of stuff. Meanwhile, she is directly implicated in some of the potential criminality. She wasn't one of the ones charged yet, but you know, she was one of the ones in doing stuff with the fake elector scheme. She was calling people and promising that the RNC would help with their legal defenses if they got in trouble and all this kind of stuff. And so basically it started with Chuck Todd, who was the former host of Meet the Press. She went on the air and did one interview on Meet the Press with the new host, which is Kristen Walker, I think. Kirsten Walker, something like that. And she did an interview.
I haven't watched Meet the Press in, I don't know, like a long
time. Since Tim Russert died.
Basically, yes.
Yes, which was a long time ago now.
Time ago.
But that's about when I last watched it, too. At least watched the whole thing. But anyway.
Not clips, right. Yeah, I'm not got media clips right now, right.
Yes. And then right after, Chuck Todd came on and said, our bosses owe you an apology for making you do that interview. Because we have no idea, like, who she's speaking for and why, because she says that when she was on the RNC, she said some of those things, not because she believed it, but because they were the ones paying her and that was the job. And now, well, now she's working for NBC. So who's she talking for now? Does she believe what she said just now? And
exactly.
And then I, I was at work for most of it and tuning in or out, but it was very evident on the fall. The announcement that she was hired happened on a Friday, and then the Meet the Press interview happened on Sunday, and Monday on MSNBC, every single host from Morning Joe at the beginning of the day to what's her name, who does the 11th hour at the end of the day, and everybody in between dedicated part of their show to talking about how bad it was that they had hired Rona McDaniel. The MSNBC management backed off fairly early and said, and you know, and their big hitters like, what's her name?
Rachel
Maddow, of course, was one of these. Like, all of them dedicated time. Rachel Maddow did like half her freaking show on it and did her usual whole historical context and blah, 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 and compared Rona McDaniel to Nazi enablers in the 30s and all this kind of stuff.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I mean, she's right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good comparison. Yes.
And so anyway, the first MSNBC management backed off and said, okay, yes, NBC has hired them, but she's not going to be on the air on MSNBC. And then a day later, NBC dropped her as well. And it turned out in part of the reporting, Rona McDaniel wanted to be on NBC, but did not want to come on MSNBC because she thought it would be too hostile. And so they gave her more money so that she would go on MSNBC too.
It's not exactly like they offered her like you know, millions.
Well, no, the deal was $600,000 over 2 years. And so now, of course,
that's what I'm saying. $300,000 for a year. It's not, you know what? I mean, I figured, you know, one of these psychophants would be going and like be able to get at least $1 million a year or something on the speaker circuit or some shit.
Yeah. I mean, remember too, this is not a full-time gig. This is like a
Well, okay. That's fair enough. So this is going to be part of her portfolio of like making, you know, grifting. Okay. Yes. Yes.
But yeah, anyway, so then NBC dropped her. And of course now she's going to, if they don't just pay her the $600,000, she's going to sue them. But of course, they probably will just pay her.
No, let's just write her a fucking check.
They'll write her the check and make her go away. But like, back to your point, it's like, what the hell were they thinking? And yes, there were things. And Rachel Maddow also, it wasn't just her. Maybe it was one of the others who said this part. But there was an interview with someone who'd written a book on fascism or whatever. And the point that he brought up was like, look, this is just the company putting their toes in the water on how to deal with what if Trump wins. And now we have to reorient to make sure we still have access into the new Trump administration. We have to make sure that we're not alienating Trump voters, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, come on. And in this particular case, also, again, she's directly implicated in some of the potential crimes.
Right.
And you know, I guess...
she's an asshole. She's a fucking asshole.
Brzezinski... But
you know what?
Yeah. Brzezinski on Morning Joe said, look, we have no issues with soliciting and having, you know, conservative opinions on here. Or even Republican opinions. But this is... But they have to be ones that are grounded in reality and care about the truth and are not freaking criminals themselves, essentially.
Right.
And the problem is all of those. Okay. You are limiting yourself to, okay, let's have Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Like the rest of the Republican Party has gone down that path.
Yeah. But say, for example, you could put up a fucking Rick Scott who, you know, he wasn't calling as far as we
maybe.
The J6 people, or Marco Rubio, who is a dumb fuck, is all fucks.
To be clear, MSNBC has tons of Republicans and ex-Republicans on there, but they're all never Trumpers. They have Michael Steele, who's a former RNC chairman. He was the one right before Rona McDaniel, actually, if I remember correctly. And he's got a weekend show on there now. You know,
right.
And we've got, what's her name? The one in...
Let's not forget that how much of a fucking sellout Rana is. She changed her fucking name! She literally changed her fucking name! To fucking curry favor with Trump!
Yes, and the other one I was thinking of was Nicole Wallace, who worked for McCain and other Republicans.
Sam, if I told you that you're going on to work for him, Sam, you know what? That Minter last name, that's horse shit. You know, we got to call you something else because the boss doesn't like it. So let's call you you're just Samuel Antonio.
Well, the difficulty that like NBC management had with all this is the fact that if you only want reality-based Republicans, you're only dealing with never Trumpers and people who've been exiled from the party.
No, I think no. But look, like I said, look, you could put up a Marco Rubio. He'll say a lot of shit you disagree with, but he didn't go and say, you know, do the J6. You could put up Lindsey Graham. Well, no, Lindsey Graham was also involved. What the fuck am I talking about?
Well,
who else? I don't know. There's got to be some other senator.
The problem is the litmus test you would need is say flat out that Donald Trump lost fair and square. Say flat out Donald Trump is unfit for office and should not be running. And,
well, no, you don't even have to say that. No. Tell me Donald Trump lost.
Yeah.
Okay. And that you're against like election subversion. And I'm okay.
Well, and what Rona McDaniel said on Meet the Press is, yes, Biden won, but there were questions that needed to be looked into.
No, there weren't any fucking questions, you bitch. No, fuck you.
Okay. Any other quick hits?
Let me see. Anything else?
Diddy?
I mean, no. No, I think that's it. I think we got everything that I think we could have should really cover.
Okay, that's fine. We'll leave it there for now. And with that, let's wrap it up. You know, I was going to wrap it up like, you know, at the end of the polling thing, but no.
We had a lot of quick hits. We had some quick hits.
Quick hits is good. You know, and we actually managed to keep them mostly quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We did better than usual.
So to wrap things up, the usual things at the end of the show, go to curmudgeons-corner.com. Go to curmudgeons-corner.com. It's good to articulate well when giving a URL for people to go to on the internet.
On the internets?
On the internets. And I guess, should I even say URL anymore? It's like just address. I don't know. Am I showing my age and my geekiness by saying URL?
I think that to you and me, it's like URL sounds like perfect, but I think that you may be right. And we're talking going over people's heads.
The modern term is URI, isn't it? Instead of URL.
Is it?
Yeah.
Universal Resource Indicator?
And is something. Yeah, I don't know. Something. I don't know. Anyway. Anyway, if you go there, you can find all the ways to contact us. Email, Facebook, Mastodon. You can find our archives. Oh, that reminds me. Like, you know, I was going to say, we have our archives and I have transcripts for the last like 6 months or so, or a little bit like almost 9 months now. But I built the transcripts in like the most fragile way possible, that I was building them based on an HTML transcript and modifying the HTML to make it look the way I wanted. And they went and freaked the tool I used, Aphonic, to generate the transcripts, changed the format of their HTML. So the transcript for last week's show still works, but it doesn't look quite right. It doesn't look like the others. So one of these weekends, I'm going to have to go in there and figure it out and fix it again. And meanwhile, there's a new standard for including transcripts within the podcast itself so that podcast players can like read along as you go. And cool. And so I can probably do that too, but I have to figure out how to do that and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. You know, Pete, you're listening out there. I know you were the one who pushed me for transcripts in the first place. So like,
yeah, tell them how to do it.
Yeah.
Fix it for
them. Yeah. Do it for me. Do it for me. Like, I don't want to do this stuff.
There you go.
Anyway.
He does, but he doesn't. Okay. That's,
yeah. Know. Like, I want to do it. I just don't want to spend the time to actually
right, exactly.
do it.
So you do, but you don't.
I guess the better way to put it is I would like to have it done. I don't want to do it, but I will at some point try to expend some effort to at least fix what I already have to make it look nicer again. But on the other hand, it works. You can still read the transcript. It's just not formatted in the way that I liked it for the other ones. I don't know. Anyway, you can find our transcripts. You can find our archives. You can find all this stuff. And of course, you can find a link to our Patreon where you can give us money. If you were the person in New Jersey who won the Mega Millions, and I know we have listeners in New Jersey.
I know. I was going to call you this week because I realized, damn it, Sam, you didn't win.
I didn't win. But, you know, well, on the ticket for that drawing, I think I did win $20.
Oh.
Now, I paid $30 for the ticket, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, so you only lost 10.
Yeah. So, can I buy a yacht for that?
No.
No. New house?
No.
Airplane?
No.
No. Damn it.
Maybe one of those little like toy planes.
Oh, okay. That'll do. That'll do. Like the little ones you buy at the airport, the little metal ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, if you're the person who in New Jersey who won the Mega Millions, please
write us a check.
Just write us a check. That's fine.
No, don't ask why. Just write us a check. Big one. Eight figures. Yes, that should be fine.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, if you want to donate it to us at various levels, much less than $1 billion as usual, we will send you a postcard. We'll mention you on the show. We'll send you a mug, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And
you write us an 8-figure check. We'll send you a mug.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
Two mugs. Two. Yeah.
And a postcard. Yeah. Anyway, at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask us, we will invite you to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I chat throughout the week with various listeners, and we share links and interesting stories, and we debate things and all this kind of stuff. So, Yvonne, what is the story of the week from the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that you would like to share with the listeners who don't come to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack? And I don't know what you're thinking. We're offering it for free. Just ask and you can come, but no.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a late breaking story.
Yes.
Okay. So this is from a publication called Electrek. Okay. Electrek went and posted an article saying Tesla starts using supervised full self-driving lanes. Okay. This is when the lawyers finally got your attention and said, listen, I don't think you're understanding the problem that you're getting us with this. Okay. You need to call this something else. So Tesla and Elon Musk have started using the term supervised full self-driving when discussing their self-driving efforts. What does it mean? Tesla and especially its CEO Elon Musk had used controversial language when discussing self-driving effort. It started with calling and selling something called full self-driving capability package all the way back to 2016. They've been selling this damn thing that still 8 years later does not work 2016, okay? And it's going to be a robo-taxi and all this stuff. And so now, all of a sudden, it is now called supervised full self-driving.
Nice. Because the driver is supervising, right?
Right. Correct.
Because it also reminds me of, what was it? Was it Cruise? The one that had to shut down in San Francisco or something?
Yes.
Like where it came out after San Francisco shut them down because they had too many accidents or whatever. It came out that actually they had on staff at a central location, or maybe some of them were working from home. I don't know. But like
a whole bunch of people basically watching the cars.
Well, yeah, basically what happened is whenever the car would get into a situation where it didn't know what to do, it would call home and someone would take over the car, basically remote control, and manually get the car out of whatever position was confusing it. And it turns out for every car they had on the road, they had more than two employees who were actually on call to drive that car at any moment.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
If the car called for help. You know, so yes, the car was theoretically self-driving, but in actuality, on a ongoing regular basis, they had two people on call to at any moment take over the driving of each one of these cars.
Oh, that's okay. Well, that's not very good. That's not very good at all.
Yes, because they got
what the hell? What? Where we're gonna go? So we sell a million cars, so we're gonna have 3 million remote drivers.
Well, if you're gonna have the remote driver, you might as well just have the remote driver, right? My work.
Let's just drive the fucking car. okay then.
Yeah. So anyway. And with that, we're done.
So now, yeah. Supervised now, Sam.
Supervised self-driving. Well, you know, you're still going to have a few of these stories every year of the people killing themselves because they're like playing video games while the self-driving is on and they run into a semi or whatever.
Well, it's this whole thing with, listen, you know, with AI, right? And there was, you know, as I also shared on the Grammatical Course Slack, that apparently, you know, AI now is like the word turbo was in the 80s. It's slapped on everything. And so apparently Oral-B has a toothbrush that now says Oral-B Genius X AI programmable toothbrush. Everything is fucking AI. My stereo says it's AI. Everything says it's
well, and AI. As we've talked about before, all of the big companies are in fear of missing out mode and FOMO mode.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where they have to like go all in on this stuff. And again, there are lots of places where this technology is really awesome and does some cool stuff. And I understand that to get it to the next level, you have to push it back. You have to push it past the comfort boundaries to some degree. But some of the stuff that's out there is just so bad. It's like you're gonna lose so much trust.
So basically, the toothbrush is not AI.
Well, I don't know what it does. Maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. Maybe as you are brushing, it's going to be chatting to you about what you're doing wrong. And no, go over here a little bit. No, go over there.
Supervised self-brushing.
Supervised self-brushing. And because these AI things do what they do, you're going to be brushing your teeth and then it's going to start giving you like programming advice and start talking about like, you know, and I think your wife may be cheating on you, you know? And so, cause
you're going to go off the reservation.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, okay.
Well, it's AI. Yes.
Yes.
All right. We're done.
We're done. And next week's show will be done entirely by AI.
Oh yes. There you go.
Yes. Okay, we are done. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. As usual, stay safe, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Mañana.
Oh, nice. Nice little song at the end. Yeah, Nicole Wallace worked for W as well, not just McCain.
Okay.
She ended up working in the press office or communications director. I forget what the hell she was. Anyway.
It's one of those.
One of those things. And I'm goodbye, Yvonne. I'm hitting stop.
Sayonara.